Blog Talk Radio.
The Bible says, be on the watch. The devil is walking around like a roaring lion seeking to devour someone, knowing that he has a short time. Most people, when they hear this scripture, they think about some being, some devilish-looking creature with dressed all in red with some horns and a pitchfork, looking to hurt, to destroy. Well, that's the traditional meaning, and people have talked about this for thousands of years. That is the traditional, conventional way of thinking of that scripture. But today, I come to you to give you the esoterical meaning of that scripture. That scripture, the esoterical meaning of that scripture, when they speak of the devil, I like to bring it closer to home, close to make it personal, if I may. When we're thinking about the aspects of our mind is duality we have, what we would call the good side and the bad side, the angel and the devil. And we know how thoughts can come up, you know, something presents itself in a way that we do not like. We automatically, because of our environment and our conditioning, default to the negative response. And I like to call that negative response the devil. And we know that thoughts come and go as quickly as they come. Meaning you think something and 5 seconds later you're thinking something totally different. Or if it's a negative thought, we think one negative thought and then we get more negative thoughts adding on. Meaning one devil comes and that devil brings along more devils. So, when we talk about this devil, this Satan, this evil one, this liar, this one who's seeking to devour, we're talking about those negative thoughts that causes you to react in a negative way that can harm you mentally at first, because that thought destroys you when you're thinking negative. So the moment you have a negative thought, it begins to devour. It begins to hurt. Now, depending on situation, you may react to that thought. It becomes physical. So now, not only has it mentally devoured you, it has begun to take on a physical form in the way of an action. Retaliation, revenge, to hurt either yourself or someone who you have perceived to have harmed you in a way. So, back to this devil. The devil is those negative ideas that we get about our situations, those negative reactions that seek to devour. And the reason why it has such a short time, because at any moment you can become aware that this thought is harmful. And you can change your mind and destroy that thought. So as soon as it comes, it knows it has a short time. And it must accomplish what it came to accomplish, and that is to destroy. So, we must be aware keep on the watch, diligently, vigilantly, aggressively, these thoughts come to defeat you. So that we do not lose focus on who we really are, who, what we are here to do. See, our purpose is to bring about peace, goodwill, wealth, prosperity, to send that out to all that we come in contact with. So we must stay focused and understand who the devil really is. Thank you, Father, for giving us.
I've read all your books and I listen to your recordings pretty much on a daily basis. And I don't say that to build up an ego that doesn't exist. it leads into my question. What I find in trying to practice the power of now, trying to be conscious without thought, is a very heavy inner dialogue of all the principles and things that I've read, like, how should I do this? What would Eckhart say? And actually, my thought process starts getting more active, and I think I'm losing the presence by that thought process. And then I think of your latest book with the cartoons, which I love, which I think there's one with a little bird in the tree. He's talking to the dog, and he's very upset. And the dog says, "What's wrong?" And the bird says, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about yesterday and this and that, and I'm worried about what's going to happen in a week, 2 weeks, about the future. What do I do? What do I do?" And the dog just looks at him and says, "Stop thinking." So how do I, you know, it seems you try to stop thinking, but and you read all this and you try to practice it, but yet in any given situation, I find that in order to get closer to practicing it or even practice it, it's causing a lot of thoughts to happen. So is that different kind of thoughts, or those thoughts that I should break that kind of habit? And if so, how?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about, not just talk, actually it's happening, addictions. Many people are addicted to all kinds of things, substances. But one of the greatest addictions, or rather the greatest addiction, you never read about it in the papers because the people who are addicted to it don't know it. It's the addiction to thinking. It's actually addictive. Can't stop thinking. It's like can't stop drinking, can't stop smoking, can't stop eating, can't stop thinking. Thinking is the greater addiction than any of these. And it's an addiction because it's been a drug, it's been around for so long, and it's a pseudo sense of self. So it's a great reluctance on the part of most people to let go of thinking, because which is equated with the state of sleep, to let go of thinking. There isn't that much to understand in this teaching. There's a little bit to understand about how the ego works, but even that is just mainly a self-observation. The main thing about it is presence. And presence is a space of no thought, but presence can also be there in the background even when thinking is happening. You can still be not completely involved in the thinking. Thinking loses the ability to create havoc in your life and confuse you. So your choice then is not to understand more or to bring some intellectual analysis to the practice, but to practice the state of not thinking, which can be arrived at by various ways, as you probably know. If you don't think about it, just do it. becoming more aware of the present moment and accept it as it is slows down the overactive mind is one thing. Because a lot of the overactivity of the mind is an attempt to get away from the isness, the simplicity of the present moment. So to become more aware of the present moment as a practice, have perhaps little pointers in your office, at home, in your car, let's say present moment or whatever, or a symbol for it. And there are different entry points into the present moment. Present moment awareness means thinking subsides, may not disappear completely, but something else arises that is primary. We call it presence or awareness. Buddhists call it mindfulness, which I don't use because it implies your mind is full of things, but it isn't, of course. It's just a mistranslation. So, to be present, first of all, use the present moment to become... But how do you become conscious of the present moment? Now, when you get it, after a while, you can actually sense the presence of the present, so to speak, directly, and there it is. But helpful things are sense perceptions, take you out of thinking. If you're not judging the sense perceptions, labeling, naming, looking around, anywhere, wherever you are, look around. Practice sense perceptions without this compulsive interference of naming what you're perceiving. Oh, that's a beautiful flower. I wonder what it's called. I don't know what it's called. Oh, that helps. I can be free of thinking. If I know what it's called, I can say, oh, that's such and such, and then drop that. And see what it means to perceive without the interference of concepts, words. At this moment, for example, you're looking at me. Now, let's say, between now and now, were you thinking? No. Okay. And again, between now and now, were you thinking or present? No thought. And while I speak, do you need to think to understand what I'm saying, or can you just listen and understand it? And this is what you're doing. And so that's part of the teaching and the function of the spiritual teacher. Imparting information is secondary. What I'm telling you now is secondary. What is primary is the underlying state of consciousness, which is presence. That's the teaching. But you can't talk about that. It's underlying. But a sign that it's working is that while you listen, there's no thought. There's just an alert presence. And when the so-called teacher stops speaking for a moment, the alert presence remains. It does not need to be filled with anything. Like now. What is there to think about? Nothing. Now, if we do this for longer, at some point, your mind will probably start up and think, how much longer is he going to sit there? And when that happens, you can allow your mind to say, how much longer is he going to sit there and say nothing, and then come back to presence. And then some other thought will come. What's this all about? And then you can allow that thought to arise and then be present again. Which means you're not really, your priority is no longer to follow the thought where it wants to take you. Because the thought has a magnetic pull. It wants more of your consciousness, but it wants to grow because it's a little entity. It wants to grow, so it wants your attention. And in subtle ways, it tries to get your attention, says, it might even use a bodily feeling, says, gosh, I'm hungry suddenly. Why didn't I need to eat something? And then you think of what restaurant am I going to afterwards? And so the presence is gone. You are gone. You are looking for a restaurant in your mind. Which means the thought used as some bodily thing to make thoughts out of it, completely pointless, because you can't find a restaurant because you're standing here. But it can use all kinds of things to manufacture most, to get your attention. And if you're not careful, if you don't know the mechanism, it's not so much an intellectual understanding, but a simple realization that this is what the mind does. It tries to pull you in. It's fine, that's what it does. Once you know that, you can allow a thought to arise without following it where it wants you to go, which is into another bigger thought and a bigger one. So then you become like my dog when it finds a scent. And then suddenly, even when the dog is off leash, usually she's fine, she just runs around you, but suddenly she picks up a scent and then she goes off completely unaware of surroundings or anything. She just follows it. And she could get lost. She goes off to the horizon sometimes, just disappears. And that's when you follow a thought, it goes like that. You can wake up 20 minutes later. And it started with being a little bit hungry and thinking of a restaurant, and it ends up with thinking about how dreadful your life is.
What's going on? This is Akeem L. with Hindsight Radio. You're listening to Truth Tuesday here on Hindsight Radio, the information station changing the nation. I hope everybody's doing well. I'm doing great. Life is always good. Even when it doesn't look like it's going good, it's good. Because every obstacle you deal with is going to present you with an opportunity to make yourself better. So when you have situations that don't look too good, always look at it as an opportunity. It makes it a whole lot easier to deal with. Challenges will come your way. That's inevitable. Because life was designed to challenge us. When you stay complacent, when you stay stagnant, when you stay comfortable, you can get what you call spiritual rigor mortis. You will become stiff mentally, spiritually, and you will not be able to move or function in any situation. So you should always be flowing. Just like the blood flows through your veins, you must flow and become in sync with any situation that confronts you, no matter how challenging it may be. You know, it's funny how some people don't like challenges, or they try to resist challenges, but they keep coming. The more you resist, the more they come. So what you have to do is accept that life is one big challenge and opportunity to become the greatest form of yourself. You know, to see what you can accomplish through obstacles. In order to build muscle, you have to exercise, right? But do you damage muscle as you work out? Then they get stronger and stronger and stronger. So that's just the way it works. Stop resisting them issues or them things you call them problems, because they're not really problems. They're just opportunities to be better and bigger. Announcement. We got a seminar I have one in Baltimore, Maryland, coming up this weekend. Let me pull it up for you. Okay, let me give you the details of that. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn Express, Baltimore downtown, 221 North Gay Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21202. It's a $300 online and at the door, cash at the door only. You're going to be getting the information on the driver's license corrections, SS5 corrections, birth certificate corrections, stop by IRS and child support denials for the passport, and proper W-9 and W-8 form. Those templates will be complimentary for those who attend. So you get the free templates for attendees of W-9 and W-8 only. And I will be going over the passport process. Breaking that down for you. Great things that continue to happen. I got an email this morning from someone who they're processing the passport and they already got notices that stuff is being deleted off their credit file already. You know, don't even have the book in hand. So just every week there's something new. So look forward to seeing you there. Saturday, August 3rd is from 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I will be getting it on Friday, and I will be leaving immediately after the seminar. So because I got to catch my flight out, got to get back. But I'm going to drop it, you know. So be on time because I'm starting at 10 a.m. sharp. I got to get all that information out, and before you know it, it will be 4 o'clock. So come with your pens and your pads ready. I'm thinking about bringing my camera to record everything there. I'm not sure. But most likely I will. I just did a webinar on Saturday on the passport process. I taught it in detail, showed you people with the line out. Only thing they didn't get was the affidavit I showed them the top portion of the affidavit, how they should structure the top. But I didn't give them the details, the meat of it, what is creating these remedies. Oh, that, of course, that's going to be sold at an additional charge. I'll have the webinar and the template for sale as soon as I jazz it up, and I'll put it up on my website. But they got the full detail. They got everything. So if you didn't get on that webinar, you missed out. I know I just said I'll be putting it up, and I'm 70% wanting to put it out there on my website, you know? So I'm kind of 30% should I do it? But it's going to get up there. But when, I'll let you know. I don't know. There's something in me that just wait a little bit before I put that out there. Because some more information is coming down the pipe. Also, last week, I also created a template for all those people who want to religiously exempt their child from vaccinations. I have the template. I have it, but I haven't posted it on my website yet. But South Carolina makes it easy. You just go fill out a form. Get it notarized, and you turn it in. But me, I always want to turn in their paperwork with my addendum or my attachment. I always annex something to their paperwork. Let them know what my child's true status is. So there's no problems. If we would have been identified early on, well, before we turned 18, who we really are, a lot of the problems that we're having, we wouldn't have. But our parents didn't know better, so we know better now. Those that's listening, we know better, so we must do better. So it's your job to go out there and correct all of these assumptions, make sure your child is not entering into a slavery contract, into a slavery contract, before they even get started. You know that they knocking out the student loans. So that means if your child decides they want to go to college and receive that education, it's a strong possibility they won't have to pay up front. I'm still working on that. Because if they can do it on the back end, they could definitely do it on the front end. I think it all has to do with how you fill out the application. Now, I was looking at something today. You know, I was looking over actually doing a 1040, not for myself. I was looking at it, and on it was an online software, and it asked, was you a national? It asked, was you U.S. citizen, non-resident alien, then comma national, comma, then it said something else. That was actually on the questionnaire, which I thought was interesting. Now, I don't know if that was there before, because I probably wasn't looking for it, and I didn't pay attention to it, but it's there. So it's national. So that national title is significant to getting remedy and part of your freedom. Not all of it, but it's part of your freedom. What else? But I think that's it. You know, just that webinar was really good. It was in detail. I went back and looked it over. But like I said, I'm hesitant on putting it up there. You know, there's something that the answer will come soon. But anyway, today, what are we going to discuss? I know I titled this show Foreclosure and Real Party of Interest. The reason why I titled this, well, I had an experience with this issue where the bank will try to foreclose on your home, right? And they'll start off with one name and then come back and substitute the plaintiff with another name. So, hang on, I'm getting some feedback here. All right. All right, anybody else getting feedback? Or is that just me? I don't know. They say no. Okay, good. All right. They come in and they'll try to substitute the plaintiff for someone that they want to use. Usually, it's some type of trust that they set up that is the actual investor on the account is making money off your mortgage. You have to be real careful with that, and you need to shut it down as soon as they try to do it. This is going to be a short lesson. I just want to read to you what they can do. This is in the state of South Carolina, when you ask for an order, you do a motion and you have to do what you call a proposed order to support your motion. So if they find in that whoever's the moving party's favor, you support it with a proposed order. If the judge agrees, they sign off on it. So basically, you write your own order. That's how that works. So here's what it says. It says, please find and close this. And this is what I got from you. You could write the judge a letter or the clerk a letter, like a cover letter to all of your motions, just so they can have an idea of what you're trying to do. So this is what the attorneys did. They said, please find and close the original and one copy of a motion and order substituting party plaintiff and the certificate of mailing in the above referenced case with the appropriate consents included. Did you notice what it said? The appropriate consents included. If this order meets with your approval, please have executed where indicated, file and return the order to our office in self-addressed stamped envelope provided. Also enclosed is the $25 motion filing fee. Now, there was no such thing as consent. So they slipped that word in there to make it like there was some consent to this motion to substitute. But me being as thorough as I am, I read everything several times. Then I come up with an interpretation. So me being who I am, immediately said, I'm asking that you do not grant or rescind the motion on the grounds listed in my objections. I did not consent to any motion in order, specifically order to substitute plaintiff. I was not given time to object to this proposed order. Also, the docket was updated before defendants were given reasonable time to object. Thank you in advance for your cooperation in this matter. So I put my proposed order. And guess what? It was granted. Because I pointed out that I never consented to that. So on the record, I was able to put this. This is how I did my proposed order. And I put order to rescind order to substitute plaintiff. And it says this is an action for a mortgage on real estate located, and it says the county, subsequent to the initiation of the suit, defendants filed a motion to dismiss on the grounds that plaintiff failed to substitute real party in interest. On February 24, 2017, plaintiff failed to respond in a timely manner. Defendants was not provided time to object to an order as required by law and did not consent to this order as outlined in plaintiff motion. Defendants moves pursuant to SCRP 17A and SCRP Rule 12A to rescind the order substituting plaintiff. Now, I know y'all heard don't use their codes and blah, 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 blah. Y'all heard that before, right? I've said that. But you can use the codes in certain instances, right, that support it. And then I put, it is so ordered, judge signed it, boom. Now, what's significant about this order to rescind is I stuck in there that I put in a motion to dismiss that they failed to answer. So I have an order sitting here saying they failed to answer. Now, we've since resolved this issue. This all came out of a lawyer advising to do what you call a modification. And the lawyer was corrupt and did, or he didn't know how to do a modification appropriately because they kept rejecting. And finally, I found someone. That's how I got in touch with Gilbert. He was able to do that and fix that problem. So that's all fixed. But I had to fight this. I had to do my due diligence and study. I'm reading all of this because when I talk about cases, when I talk about issues that I'm having, or anybody else's happening, I've experienced it. I'm doing it. I'm showing y'all how to get remedy. Because some of y'all are stuck in foreclosure cases right now because either y'all tried this discharge process or some other process that got you behind. But you can win if you recognize different things. See, I recognize that they were trying to substitute the party because why? They can only win by being the real party of interest. And if the court grants them the substitution, then they become the real party of interest. I have to shut that down. Say, no, wait a minute. Y'all done switched up. I never signed a contract with these new people. How do they become the real party of interest? You see, you have to stop it at every step of the way. And you need to be hitting these people with third-party debt collector process, even the attorneys. So I got that rescinded. The order is rescinded. So now this original plaintiff has no standing to sue on anything because he no longer is the real party of interest. As you know, the rules. Let's look that up. Even the one they're trying to substitute is not a real party of interest. But, you know, the courts let these people get away with that crack. And it's under Rule 17. It says designation and action must be prosecuted in the name of the real party in interest. So that means if the case caption is wrong, and a real party of interest is not there, there is no subject matter jurisdiction. There's no personal jurisdiction. There is failure to state a claim for which relief can be granted. You understand? And then it says, the following may sue in their own names without joining the person for whose benefit the action is brought. An executor, an administrator, a guardian, a trustee of an express trust. So if they come in and they're suing for their mortgage and there's a trustee over a trust that's involved in that, they were supposed to initiate that complaint in that party's name. Because then they would have had standing because it says a trustee of an express trust, which we know a lot of these mortgages are backed by trust. Because they're trading these mortgages. F, a party with whom or in whose name a contract has been made for another's benefit and a party authorized by statute. Boom. But you have to make it known who the real party of interest is, and you must be attacking that. Boom. So boom, they got no standing. Now, what can I do with this order? I go and file another motion to see I need you guys to act on my previous motion to dismiss. They didn't answer in time, and the real party of interest is not here or no longer here or was never the real party of interest. In my case, that mortgage company went out of business back in 2012, but they started to sue in 2016. So how was they suing in the first place if they didn't even have a business? Charter was gone, revoked by the IRS. See, 99% of these mortgages are fraudulently done. But unfortunately, we have these courts that are on the take and they are allowing stuff like, and like in this case, I know the clerk of court was in it with the attorneys because they just did it. And they didn't show proof of any consent. They didn't have my signature saying I approved that. They just did it. And I know the actual judge didn't stamp it. The clerk stamped it on the judge's behalf. And that's a lot of these orders are being done by a clerk. But when I brought up the error, that clerk probably was like, well, you know, I'm busted. Let me refix this. Because I pointed it out. And a lot of you guys are missing little details to win your case. Because when I shut them down, then they went silent for almost a year. And it was me that made the next move, say, I need to close this out. So remember, when you're dealing with any case, even criminal or any other case, it don't have to be a foreclosure, make sure that case caption is accurate. If it's not accurate, then you don't have a proper suit. Even when you come to charging, when they charging people with statutes and codes, you need to look those things up. Because a lot of times what they're writing down that they're charging you and the code that they're using doesn't match. What is that called? You have a right to know what you're being charged with accurately. And if the initial complaint is in error, there is no complaint. And you must point that out. Because that goes on the record. Hey, this is what I'm charging with. I wrote this down. They write the code. They can't go back and change that. Oh, we made a mistake. No. Mm-mm. You have a right to immediately know what you're being charged with. There's no do-overs when it comes to that. What happens has to happen is they have to dismiss that case and then do a retrial. That's why you have what you call retrials. They have to redo it. A lot of them don't want to redo cases because that starts everything up. Evidence gets stale. Boom. The case, the odds of getting dismissed and thrown out is higher. So usually when that happens, they just leave it alone and move on to an easier target. You want to make your cases hard for them as possible. And you guys got to understand, you might be seeking help from people to do stuff, right? But you're walking into court and not even knowing what to say. Paperwork has got all the right information in it, but you get up there and you don't even say the right things. Why can't you say the right things? Because you didn't even read the paperwork or even study to understand why that paperwork is saying what it's saying. Because if you understood what the paperwork was saying and what it was doing, you'd be able to just spit it out. Why is it so hard for people to understand that religious exemption is the most powerful thing you can say in a courtroom? Y'all, they try to make you take oaths on the Bible. So if that didn't mean anything, why did y'all can't get it together and use it? I hear stuff like, oh, I'm not the straw man. That's not me. See, the problem is y'all watching too many. Yeah, I know I got YouTube videos up there, but I like to say my stuff is on point. You can reference it and you can actually use it and it works. I have not seen too many times where people walked in and they said, I'm not the straw man. And they just walked away. I've never seen that. I see it on YouTube all the time. I remember they had the Moors got the judge shook. And I'm like, and I watched the video. It wasn't even close to what they were saying. I think that was just for you to click it and get you to watch it. Come on. Now, study your work so that you can deliver yourself from this system. I can only write it down. But you got to embody it, study the rules. All of my, when I do stuff, it's for you to go look it up, read it, and understand it. You know, it's a handful of people that I work with that actually do that. They'll call me up the day before, oh, I got to go to court. What do I do? What? You asking me the day before when you should have been doing this weeks prior to this. You should already know what to do. Did you even read the paperwork? You know, at best, just read the paperwork, you know? So, let's see. Remember, real party of interest, case captions are important because most times those case captions are wrong. So I've even seen, even if your name is Mr. Bell, that's not you. That's not the right person. You got to challenge it, every little thing. Most cases are won on technicalities alone. And they're doing so many cases that they can't keep up. Excuse me. All right. This is 7:45. Yes, this is going to be a short night. I got in from New York this morning. Was up since 1:30. Making my way to the airport. And that's a fiasco just doing that. And I tell you, you could drive halfway to where you're going, you know, with all the stuff you got to go through with the airport. But, all right, I'm going to go to the phone lines now, see what y'all got to talk about out there. I hope y'all understand me reading that. Actually, I didn't read the book. I read it. But when I complete all of this, I'm gonna do a video on this. I don't know if I'm gonna do a webinar because I really don't want to teach foreclosure. I just want to just show y'all some of the things I do. So I'll just probably do a YouTube video breaking down different things that I did to shut these crooks down. So let's go to the first caller, 419-380. Remember the rules. I need to hear positive things about yourself, your family, if that's what you want to talk about. What's going on good, and then we can talk about your question. 419-380. Oh, he's studying. Let's go to somebody else. 704-258. That's North Carolina somewhere.
Keith, man, how you doing, man?
Doing good. How you doing?
Maintaining, man. Taking it one day at a time, man. You know, it's a struggle everywhere you go.
Oh, don't be calling it a struggle because it'll always be a struggle. You call it what you want it to be. If you want it to be good, it's good all the time. Y'all, do y'all understand what that God is good is all the time? God is good all the time? They're not talking about a God in the sky. They're talking about you. You need to be calling that. God is good all the time. You must be good to yourself and say good things. That's where you need to stay, right there. Speak good things. Don't say it's a struggle. Whatever you call it, it will become. You are the God of your universe. What you experience now, you created it. Yeah. All right, what's up?
Yeah, I was just concerned, you know, you were just going over the, what you call it, momentum. I know a lot of people, man, you know, speaking about the writ of momentum or something like that. But before I get into that.
You talking about, what are you talking, mandamus? Writ of mandamus?
Yeah, mandamus. Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's trying to figure out. Following the rules. Yeah, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out, like, okay, I know the difference between mandamus, but when I looked it up, writ of mandamus, it's like a court order. But, you know, you look up writ, it insinuates like it's something private that we can enforce, like an equity law. But
writ of mandamus, you will see those writs mostly between governmental agencies who are fighting amongst themselves. They do writ of mandamus, right? They say if the governor is trying to get the clerk of court to do something, they ain't cooperating. They're not following their job. So they do mandamus. It goes up to the high court and they say, well, this is your job. Writ of mandamus to get them to do what they are required to do. Like, for instance, they tell you you can't file your paperwork, right? So
okay.
You do a writ of mandamus to get them to file your paperwork. Because what you're doing is asking the higher court, the Article III court, to command them to do their job that they were constitutionally instituted to do.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What a writ of mandamus is.
Because I thought it was just a court order insinuating that only they can, you know what I'm saying, initiate a writ of mandamus.
No,
so
you can do a writ of mandamus. Yeah, yes. I know someone who successfully did it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I did a show on this. It's labeled writ of mandamus. go back and listen to the archives. Look, it's a pandemic, an order from a court to an inferior governmental official ordering the government official to properly fulfill the official duties of correcting abuse of discretion. So you could let them know what's going on, and then the court issues you a writ to say, do your damn job, basically. You understand?
Okay.
Like, for instance, this is like when they come out with the law, if they make a law where they have gay marriage is acceptable, right? But then you have the court saying, we're not going to do that. But the law says they can't, they got to. So they can issue a writ to make them do it, do their job. Yeah.
Thanks. Okay. According to Rule 17, when you speak upon the real part of your interest, I mean, I remember Tony Bay was speaking upon that a while back, and he said anybody can pick up the case. You spoke upon the list. Add on the real part of your interest, like the breakdown on it. Like, how are we supposed to utilize the real part of your interest? What does it mean to us?
I don't know what you kind of mumbled out what was said before, but do me a favor. I don't want to hear what nobody else said. I want to hear what you said, your thing. Like, somebody said this. I can't quite comment on what somebody said and what they're teaching. A real part of your interest before you, I'll explain to you. Hold on. Say you got a contract with somebody, right? And they don't fulfill that contract. Yeah. You take it to court to get them to fulfill a contract. So you are the real party of interest because you're trying to get the court to give you something pertaining to this contract. Now, the other person is a real party of interest because they're at the other end of that contract. So real party of interest is someone who has an interest in the case and they're directly affected by it. But what I'm teaching tonight is a lot of times they'll start a action in another name. Right? Then later on, they'll try to substitute a party later on to the case. Say, this ain't the real party of interest anymore. This is the real party of interest. You need to be challenging that. Okay, how did they become the real party of interest? When did you sign a contract with that person? You know, they started up here, then it came here. And that, a lot of times you will see this in mortgage foreclosure cases. It'll start off in the name of the mortgage company that you've been paying, and then all of a sudden it'll go to some trust.
Oh, okay.
Saying that
so
they're
it don't
the real
matter
party's
if,
interest.
I was thinking, like, okay, the authenticated birth certificate makes you the real party of interest of that legal.
It gives you evidence that you are to be assumed the real party of interest. You can use as evidence saying that you are the owner of that document, that paper. You see, so you get to sue on the behalf of that or make a claim on the behalf of that document. Because in that Rule 17, it says a trustee or express trust can make a claim on behalf. So you would be considered the real party of interest on behalf of the old caps. You got it?
Sure, indeed.
All right.
When you come to Charlotte, man?
Charlotte is not going to happen probably till September because I had some people who put some stuff together. Someone put someone in Maryland, and in the August is going to be Atlantic City. And these are people who put stuff together, so I have to fulfill those obligations, and it'll probably be mid-September.
I'll be on the lookout.
This is a busy month for me, bro, right now. All right, brother. Peace. I got to move on. All right,
peace.
All right, let's go to the next caller, 347-922.
Hey, what's up, Akeem?
Hey, what's up? What's going on? How you doing?
What's going on, man? Hey, I got a question, man. I don't know. I want to know. What's going on?
You ain't saying nothing good about yourself first. You jumping right into the question.
Nah, man, I'm sorry, man.
Good.
I just need some answers because I'm you know, I'm going to court and
I need some answers too. I want to see how good your life is other than that court case first. Then I get to your court case. Good.
Well, for me, I'm happy to be alive. First of all, every day to wake up and have the sense of even being able to see, smell, touch, all that's a blessing, man.
Okay. That's good. I mean, now that you got that off your chest, that's really for your therapy, man. That's not for me. It's for you to talk good about yourself. You know, we got to start doing that. We got to wake up in the morning and start talking good about ourselves. Nobody else
that's
is doing
right,
it.
Man.
You should do it for yourself.
Man, sometimes, I even go to the movies by myself just to enjoy my own company, man.
Right. You're supposed to do that.
Just
once you become whole within yourself, all that other stuff becomes irrelevant. You'll like associating with people at times, but you'll be okay with not having any associations. You know? You'll be okay with people not liking you. Because you like yourself. Yeah. That's all you need.
Yeah, you know? That's it. I mean, it don't bother me. I do what I got to do. You know, sometimes there's a certain place and a certain time for everything. You know, so
right.
I'm going to go meet someone. I dress appropriate, you know. I'm going to be home. I'll relax. I dress, relax. It all depends on how you feel at the moment. Well,
absolutely. Now, what's going on with this case?
All right. Listen, I'm getting divorced.
Okay.
And I'm going to Dole. I don't have no lawyer, so I'm about to submit some paperwork. But last time, the judge, they switched the judge on me, first of all. And this new judge is just all about the money. She's trying to put me on child support. And she actually gave her an order to open the child support. And I just received the paperwork. They want me to start paying and all this stuff. But
so they made a temporary order already?
Yeah, the order's been written down since, hold on a second, since 2017. I was giving her supposed to be $400 a month, but I didn't pay her. She didn't insist. So when they asked her,
I know you got court order, but how are they enforcing it? Are they using child support enforcement agencies, or is it just a private
now
where you can just pay her directly?
At first it was done like that, but now they gave her an order and pretty much told her to go open that order and go to the child support agency so they can start enforcing
it. You don't, you're going to have to get on that. Because once they get involved, you're going to have some big deal. It's going to be a big deal.
I watched the child support webinar you did in September. So I've been watching that and studying that. So I'm on it. So, I got my affidavit of repetition, a signature, my 5.0.
Now, let me ask you a question. Let me before you finish with the filing stuff, I gotta do something here. You said you haven't given her anything. Let me ask you, are you taking care of your child outside of that?
Yeah. I've tried, Akeem. I've tried. Before we even went through this court proceedings, I was giving her voluntary child support. I gave her the amount of money she wanted. Even with that, I still bought things for my child. You know, now she's trying to be a parent. She's not trying to take the money, none of that stuff. And it's ridiculous because I went as far as I even sent it to her to certify.
Let me show you how to fix that problem. Let me show you how to fix that problem. If she don't want to take the money, you just go get the money orders, put her name on it, take pictures of it, send it to her. If she cash it, that's on her. You get hey, I've been giving her the money. You understand? Just do that.
I'm not gonna do that. It's been two times that I tried giving it to her, so.
Even
in the court.
Even in the court, and she didn't accept the money.
She didn't want it.
And a lawyer didn't even.
Listen, y'all not hearing me. You're not hearing me. I don't care what she accepts. This is about you. You do your part. Get the money orders. Have them addressed to her. She don't take it. That's on her. You paid it. Right? You're going to pay it anyway, right? If you really want to pay her, you will pay her, right? Whether she cashed the check or not, you did your job. That money gone.
I don't know about all that, because, I could do the GSA bonds, too, so I'm thinking,
dude,
I'm going to throw all that in.
Let me screw you on GSA bonds. Niggas got on here and said they GSA bonds, they did that, and they didn't do jack. Okay?
Oh, really?
A lot of that stuff is fantasy talk. It's not real. And I'm telling you that because I know personally it's not real. You could try. I know 10 people that did GSA bonds and didn't work. So you can try it.
And they still push you.
Now, you even heard me say do the GSA bonds. The reason why I said do GSA bonds because a certain person was saying they did it to do their child support. But here's the thing. They never showed y'all proof they did it. So when y'all talk about what y'all going to do, let me give y'all real reality. What I've seen with these GSA bonds. 10 people, and I know more than 10 that did it. None of it worked.
Well, I don't know, man, but I'm going
to
follow the...
Because you're starting to sound like to me like you don't even want to pay to take care of your kid. That's what it sounds like.
No, none of that.
This is true Tuesday.
No,
I don't let y'all slide with that bull. Listen, I told you, if you really want to give her the money, you don't care. You go get a money order and just sit it there on the table. What she doing is on her. You did your job.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. You're right. You're right about that. You're right.
I'm not here to call y'all feelings. But I'm saying, listen, if you want stuff to go right for you, you got to do right. It ain't about what she did and all that. And here's the thing. If she's not accepting money from you, that means she's hurt from something. So dig deeper and figure out what that is. Is that one time she cared about you and she liked you?
Yeah, but, you know, you grow out of things. I mean,
what woman you know, they too many women not taking money. Oh, you gonna give it? They going to take it and still screw you, right? But you got a woman who refuses to take money from you? There's something going on there, deeper than what y'all dealing with.
Oh, I know. So, it's to me, you know, I'm going to get to see my kid behind all this stuff. You know, they're biased in the courtrooms and just favoring her.
Well, I agree. Courts are biased against the father because they want that division to keep going so y'all don't work things out. Because they make money off y'all on these child support orders. That's why I don't support court-ordered child support orders.
Yeah.
But I support taking care of your child and you doing what you're supposed to do 100%.
So,
you know, that's what I support.
How am I supposed to know, you know, what he needs? If there's no communication amongst us. I don't get a call. I get a call once a week, and that's what, like a 10, 15 minutes, and then he's usually on a rush. He has to get ready for bed. How am I supposed to know what he needs? I call the mom, and the mom is always trying to dictate. It's like, I can't talk.
I got you. I understand. Okay. Okay, let me help you. Let me help you when I'm trying to get you to see the psychology of what's going on. If she's trying to dictate and be, that means somewhere she got feelings for you and she's trying to get you, move you around. You know what I'm saying? So she's trying to get you to pay attention and chase her down these little alleys. Don't chase her down these alleys. I'm telling you, y'all act like I ain't been through that. I've been through what you've been through.
Ain't nobody chasing her, I'll tell you that much.
Sometimes you gotta take the hit of not seeing your child to see your child. I've had that game played on me. You're not gonna see him. I'm sending him here. Is it? And I used to fight back and forth. You know, we go back and forth, and then one day the old G said, don't do that. Don't fight. I know you don't understand what I'm saying. Go along with it and act like it's no big deal. The moment I did that, it didn't take days. The moment I just let go and just let it be, okay, that's fine. And like it was no big deal, I got a call within minutes. Hey, you can come pick him up. That's my oldest son. And ever since then, I didn't have no more problems. So what I'm trying to say, it takes a change in your attitude and your perception of her, and don't perceive her as a bad person. I know this is hard to say, especially if you feel like you're the victim.
I agree with you.
She's a great person, and you put that in your mind, I guarantee you she's going to change her attitude. And you're going to start to see a difference. Know why? Because you're not focusing on that negative part of her, and you're focusing on the positive. Just one day out the blue. You know what? I really appreciate you being such a great mother. Just say that out the blue when you do get a chance. If you, you don't even write a letter.
Yeah, but what if you don't mean that, Aki? I mean, what if you just say that?
You don't mean, you don't think she's a great mother?
In my opinion?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not there to witness anything, so I'm being real. I don't know what she's doing. So I don't know. So I only can say from what I've seen.
Let me tell you why she's a great mother. Let me tell you why she's a great mother. It's very simple.
Go ahead.
Very simple. She went through the 9 months of labor and had that child. That makes her a great mother.
Yeah, but that's because I couldn't
can't
do
that. You can't do that. You can't sit here and go through 9 months of labor and push a child out of your body. That's a great act just right there alone. Okay? And we need to appreciate that because we can't do it. See, I'm trying to get you to see only the positive. Don't look at all of that bad. And I'm not saying none of that is true or it's not valid. I'm not trying to invalidate your feelings. What I'm trying to do is shift your thoughts into a positive mindset so that positive results can come. Even if you, it's called faking it to making it to you, faking so you make it. Yes, it may take a little faking because that's not the reality at the time. But as you keep pushing that positive image out there, you're going to get positive results. It's inevitable. It's just like when you push negative, look at it. You've been pushing this agenda for a while. I know who I'm talking to. For a while, and you're still getting the same results. It's time to do something different.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? And, you know, we've had this conversation before. This ain't the first time we've talked like this.
Well,
right? Am I right?
If you, and well, we've had similar talks. We've talked before in the past, yes, about different situations.
Mm.
But not this one in particular, no.
Okay. But it's change your mind, your situation will change. I can give you, Remy, go try the GSA bonds. I know that's a waste of time. But do it. Just to prove me wrong, do it.
Damn, I can't. Not for nothing, you make me feel like I spent a lot of money on something that's not going to give me no remedy. Because it's like...
Well, things have changed. I'm going to tell you what gives you remedy. My child support video works. That works because that's what I do. That's my thing. I help people with those things.
Right.
I can't tell you how to do GSA bonds. It's one thing, I never did them. And secondly, people that I know have done them, I haven't seen any remedy from it. There's only two people I know that said that worked. That it worked for them. Two people. But I've never seen that paperwork. So I can't confirm that. But I can confirm
who has done it
outside of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying is I beat cases on procedure. This is how the court works. Figure out how to work within those rules and get your wins. Child support is involuntary servitude. Constitution forbids that. And if you claim religious exemption on that, I had it. You got testimony, the guy came on, he did that right in the courtroom. Hey, the Bible is my constitution. And there's scriptures that support what I'm telling you. Because in my stuff, those scriptures, that will stop it. You know, if that's what you're doing. But what I want you to do is you're focused on winning that. But your most important thing is being able to see your child.
Yeah.
And you should be able to be willing to do whatever it takes to do that, what I mean by that, you be the peace in that situation. You know,
well,
you don't see
I'm
in
already
history,
ahead
of them. If history, and it takes time. Don't expect for all of this to happen overnight. In history, peace treaties was men sitting down, men, alpha male sitting down, coming to an agreement. You got to be the leader in that piece. You got to understand the makeup of a woman, they're emotional, they take things in, they don't let things go very easily, you know, and they're going to constantly remind you of how you hurt them. You may not even think you hurt them, but they're interpreting your actions is hurt, right?
No,
so,
you're right.
And she's,
that's
her,
my girl now.
The child is her way of hurting you back. By her not taking the money from you, that's her way of hurting you back. But you got to let, now when you resist that, you give her something to hold on to, right? But when you don't resist it, there's nothing to hold on. And then she starts to look, well, what is all this for?
No.
And she starts to, you probably know, she goes off in her, by herself, and she thinks about that. I can guarantee you she does.
You know what she
you
did?
You know I need to.
Let me tell you something. Listen, I don't want to say nothing bad, but I told the courts, okay, I have all this money. I think we should use this money to open a 529 plan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know what's that, but
I know what it is. It's a
college
savings plan. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So I'm like, since the court's not going to monitor any of this money, and we're here to make a decision based on the child's best interest, I propose that I open this and put this money in there so we know the child's benefiting from it. Because the court's
not
going to monitor the money if I give it to her.
A good idea as far as the 529 plan, but see, the courts ain't going to give you credit for that. What you do is just open up a simple bank account and have
the
beneficiary of that account. So if you don't want to do the money orders, just put the money in the bank account and leave it there and let it stack. And say, here, court, here's the money.
Right.
For her, she's not taking advantage of it. Send her the daggone debit
That's
card
what I want.
For that account.
No, but the court doesn't want that.
That's why you get the courts out of it. They don't want that because they can't get their dollar for dollar
mm-hmm.
of you paying child support. See, they're trying to be in the middle of your situation. So you shut that down. You know, you're doing a private contract. You can't interfere with private contracts.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm watching
the
video, the webinar, and I'm studying it. I'm created. I've already got a couple of paperwork done on my own. Like I said, I got my revocation of signature 5.1.
Yeah.
That's
constitutionally challenged. That that's good. That 5.1 is good.
Right.
But make sure you put an affidavit
and,
in support of that of 5.1.
Right. I got the affidavit of service for that. The Trinity versus Pigliaro. The certified constitution,
really
submit that as well. I need
Pigliaro, unless it's just the attorney in the room and she's not there.
Well, my son has an attorney in the courtroom, so he's constantly always trashing me and all this stuff. And then I got my son's mother, so it's like those two attorneys constantly saying negative stuff about me. And then the judge is like, "Hello,
you need to hit him up with slander. If it's not true, it's slander.
Objection, slander."
I'm
going in there by myself, but hey,
slander is a crime. You need to make them stick to the facts. A lot of stuff they're saying they don't have first hand knowledge of.
Right. That's exactly what. That's what I'm like, yo. And then they make up stuff, and then I'm looking at her like, yo, for real, you're gonna allow this on the record?
No, you have to say slander. They don't have any proof of what they're saying. The accusation is facts.
Right. See, I don't know that. Now I've done it. I'm going to stop
practicing. The accusation is not facts. They need to be presenting evidence. For one thing, lawyers do not get to testify. The Trinity versus Pagliaro applies there. They don't get to testify.
Right.
They can only present witnesses and sworn affidavits and exhibits.
That's it.
As their way of proving their point. And all they got to do is point to it. But anything they submit, you get to cross-examine. So if someone, submit an affidavit, they need to have who wrote that there to swear to that they wrote it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Every time I get paperwork from the lawyers, I see, when I look at the affidavits, it's always something my son's mother said as an affidavit. But everything else is always, every other paperwork.
But where is she?
Dumb.
Where is she?
Oh, she's there too. She's in the
courtroom. She's there. Okay.
Right.
All right. But you get to cross-examine her. You get to cross-examine her and ask her.
We're still
to testify on behalf of her affidavit. Say it again.
Well, we haven't gone to trial.
No. If they're pushing that out there, right there, and especially if it's in support of a motion, you get to ask her questions. Like, if they make an emotion on you, you can say, okay, I wish to bring this her up so I can cross-examine her in this affidavit.
Well,
you can actually
they haven't
cross-examine her in a deposition where y'all have a private deposition.
Right.
You get to record her responses.
Okay, okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Well,
before
I might have to get ready. I might have to get ready for that now, because that the motion they're trying to do on me, it's I don't know how to answer that.
What's the motion?
Well, the judge says, yeah, she kind of like told them to do that kind of motion, which is called a motion for preclusion. P-R-E, preclusion. Am I saying it right? Preclusion.
No, spell it out. Spell it for me.
Right. P-R-E-C-L-U-S-I-O-N.
Preclusion.
Right.
Preclusion.
Right. So.
It's an action. It's preclusion. P-R-E-C-L-U-S-I-O-N?
Yes.
Okay. The action is preventing something from happening. The barring of evidence, testimony. So what are they trying to preclude? What is it they're trying to not have in there? What is it specifically? They got to be referencing something.
I don't understand exactly what they're trying to do, but. The judge has been asking me my wages and stuff, asking me how much money I make, and I haven't answered any of that. Where do I work? And I said, I'm not here to discuss any of that, man. So the judge is kind of...
Well, you don't have to say it. You can say, I plead the fifth. Yes.
I did that too.
Because I don't have to submit evidence against myself.
Right, so I've done that. Now I'm like, I'm worried because I'm like, it looks like the judge... She's trying to give me a chance, but yet she's favoring the mom again. I'm like, but everything that's been presented is just basically he or she say, why haven't you changed anything?
Mm-hmm.
So she's been giving orders against me. So now I'm challenging her now with the 5.1.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see what happens. I'm going to see what happens with her.
Okay.
With the rescinded signature, the denial of U.S. citizenship, notary representment. Hold on, I got a list here of everything I'm doing.
But good thing I'm hearing is the 5.1. But what about your motions that you're putting in front of them? Like
the judicial notice
to dismiss it.
Judicial notice to be heard.
That's not good. That's like having the case dismissed.
Oh, that's the other motion I got to make to have the case dismissed.
Yeah, well, you're kind of out there. You're gonna have to have a motion for summary judgment.
Mm-hmm.
All right, keep studying, brother. Keep at it. All right.
All right, man. Thanks a lot, Keem. I'm going.
All right, peace. All right. All right, you too. All right, let's go to 336-722.
Peace, sir.
Peace. What's up, brother?
Yes, sir. Things are well. Looks like on a positive note, man. It's like mom and dad are finally conceding to the fact of me being an executor over their estate.
Wow. Okay. They trust me with that. Good.
Right. So just, to those listening, they fighting on our remedies, and sometimes people arguing, about what we know or we don't know. But, on a positive tip, we believe and stick to what we know, and, they come around.
Mm-hmm.
And, they saying, we want you to be the executor over our estate. So I'm like, tomorrow, it's like I got to meet with him tomorrow.
Well, you gave him that apricot. They trusted you now.
How about that?
You proved yourself with the... remedy.
He's sitting up in the bed saying he want me to be the executor over the state. I'm like, oh boy, here it goes. So I gotta drop that and let you know, man.
That's good.
That's some positive stuff right there, bro. That's some positive stuff. What you heard about this Equifax breach? And have you heard anything about it too?
Plenty of it. They supposed to be giving out some money in this class action suit or whatever.
Right.
If it's blown up this big, that means it's about 10 times bigger than what it really is.
Sure enough.
Now, I have a remedy with that concern.
Okay, go.
Because of this breach, that means that every file that Equifax has touched is contaminated. Meaning, So if a lender is denying you because of Equifax, you need to be demanding that they exclude Equifax's report because it's got bad information. They've been breached. They're compromised. They can look at your better scores. You know, you're always going to have a better score with Experian and TransUnion. Equifax is always the lowest because they're a scam. So,
right.
And you could have the same exact file, and they'll be 20 points lower. Like, how do you figure this, right? So,
right.
So because of this all of this publicity and going on, so listen, you can't hold me to that. And they can waive that and use your higher scores.
Okay, because the FTC is providing a website link saying, okay, go put in the last name of the allegiance and this last six of the social. And you come up on the system, okay, then you can go ahead and apply and get $125. Okay.
Right. That's not
also,
a little bit of change, man. I go sue
more.
Them. I'll sue them on my own. I don't want that little bit of bread. I want to go,
there you go.
And sue them suckers for all the times that if you had applied for credit during those times and got denied, okay, and that report was used, you got some bread coming to you. That's more than $125. You harmed my reputation because you didn't protect this information. Furthermore,
so
I never gave you permission
to
keep a file on me. Right.
Okay, so you thinking of a template down the road that can provide a remedy?
I wasn't thinking about that because that's some more work. I mean,
eventually I'll get
to that, but you know, that's not high on my priority.
Gotcha. Okay, I'll work at something. Maybe see what you think. I'll work at something. See what you think.
Man, I'm going to tell y'all,
too,
all these companies been breached. They just fronting. Ain't all of them using Equifax? So that means everybody was breached. Right? Everybody was breached. Because you have to.
So we could put them in a federal case.
I used to be able to, like, I had my satellite company when I was doing that. I had an account with Equifax where I could run credit reports. So if my system made a connection to their system, then my system is breached.
Correct.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're doing everything electronically.
Yeah. Electronically. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, you're on some good stuff tonight about the foreclosure stuff. Sounds like you can come at them even if they got a judgment to foreclose. You can probably maybe do a motion to vacate judgment, you know, alleging some of the things you talked about.
They didn't get that in my case, but yes. Well, what can ultimately happen is I can go back and sue them all. That's third party debt collectors trying to collect money they had no right to. Think about it. You put a case and all the mental aggravation, and you're not even the person who you're suing.
Right. I remember dropping three of them on them, and they walked right through it, basically. But the fact is, they were still the people who were not they were substitute parties in the whole argument. You know, they weren't the real party of interest. It was a bank saying they would substitute trustees for a bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But see, what they do is they don't always come in as that trustee or substitute trustee. They come in as another name, and then they change the name in mid-case. That's where you need to shut it down, because if you can shut that down, you got the case. One. You can get the case dismissed.
Right. See, in my case,
a lot of people
I'd
let
probably
that
have to
roll. Don't pay attention to that little detail.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, because in my case, I'm gonna have to put a motion to vacate judgment, and then you know, put out all these facts that you stated tonight in the show, you know, and most likely see what they can prove up, see what they have to prove up to that, see what that order gets granted or denied.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, did you ever drop, I think you dropped one time about a substitute for that 9-8 as the responsible party? You had
have to go ahead and do it as an individual and then do an 8832. They're not letting me go.
Right.
I tried to fax and mail it. They kicked it back.
They're kicking that back too?
When I tried to do the 9-8 as the responsible party, they said, nope, no sir. I tried to mail it in.
Yay. Then I'm assuming then I can't use an estate number then, most likely.
No, you got to use an individual. They want an individual, which is the SSN or ITIN. Or you can use a third party. But what you can do, get the number and do an 8832 and gift it over to the guy.
Ah, so gotcha.
Just like you did your estate number.
Like you did your estate number. It's 8832. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
The world is just
going
to do it differently. All
right. Right. Hey.
All right. Peace.
Peace. Huh? I heard about you coming to Charlotte soon, so yeah, I'm waiting.
Yeah. I got to go ahead and put the contract together.
Oh, you busy. You busy.
Yeah. This is going to be a busy month already.
All right.
Baltimore.
Yes, sir.
City. I got some stuff going on in between that. All right.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
All right, peace.
All right.
Peace.
All right, go to 702-769.
Peace to the gods.
Peace to the God. What's going on? How you doing?
I'm doing good. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
All right. This is Antonio Gonzalez out here in Las Vegas from the Tampa Seminar.
Oh, what's going on? Peace. Yeah, brother. Yeah, we've been working together for a minute. You've been working on some things.
Yeah, so I just wanted to call and just provide testimony out here to your listeners because now I'm one of the
they're breaking you up now with that remedy. You broke up. You started saying what was going on. Go ahead.
Oh, of course. Well, I just wanted to call because I got my passport. That book is in my possession.
Good. Now you got to get the certified copy of your application.
Yeah, I was checking that out on the website.
Yeah, go get that. I've been telling people to do the certified in the apostille copy. So it's like $58.
Yeah, I heard you. Saying that to Marco. But yeah. I just wanted to call in real quick, brother, to provide the testimony to the listeners. You know, I'm one of the brand new people. I got put on to you in January, and I got hooked immediately, started listening to the shows and archives along with the news shows, and then going to see you in Tampa, that changed everything for me, you know. And here we are just a few months down the road, and I feel on top of the world. And it's exciting because I know it's just the beginning, you know.
You didn't get no rejection, no nothing. They gave it to you, right?
I'm one of the ones that they gave that letter and they couldn't verify identity. They wanted
the ID thing. Yeah, okay. That's a simple one. I wouldn't even call that a rejection. I just
sent them five different yearbooks and shit. That passport was in my possession a couple weeks later.
Yep. Good, man. They did that because of something with your signature, right? Like it looked different.
Well,
is that why they did that?
That's what I was suspecting.
Yeah.
Numerous times calling and talking to people, I did finally get one lady that told me the reason why was because the ID that I used was issued in 2019. So I don't know if that's legit. That still kind of sounds a little fishy, right?
Like, okay, that don't make sense.
Yeah,
but,
and it was a real ID that I used. Yeah, I got it. All good.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give you a heads up. I got to head out to Pennsylvania, unfortunately, for a family funeral. But I'm going to be in Pennsylvania, so I'm going to do what I can to get down to Baltimore. I'd love to be at a seminar and soak up all that new information.
Oh, I went in with the passport there, but... Yeah, it's gonna be so much more this one. You know.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and be there, and I'm gonna see if I can get my mom to come down too, because mom knows what I'm doing, and she supports it. So, hopefully,
okay, good.
See me and mom down there on Saturday.
Okay. Hopefully. I'll be looking for you. Listen, the stuff I'm going to drop at this one. I'm not, you know, the history, we did that for a couple of years. I did that. I want to do more application. Okay, what can we do with the information now that we know? What's next?
Right.
That's what I want to talk about. And actually, what's not on there, probably going to be talking about the religious exemption from the vaccination, because I think that's very important that we are aware of what these vaccines are doing. They got a website dedicated to letting you know what happens with these vaccines.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, they got a website called VARS. I did a video. Go to my YouTube channel. I did a video on it showing you the website, and it shows you what has happened with these websites, whether the person survived or not. Yeah, and these are real incidences that people report because it's a self-reporting system.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Go check that out. Yeah.
Will do. Oh, real quick, so I do got one stupid question. So I do got my passport.
Don't,
I'm just
don't say
science.
You're stupid.
All right, you're right.
So go ahead, what's your question?
I'm going to sign the passport exactly the same as I do the application and our injunctions and everything, right?
Yes, you can. This is what I would do. If I was signing my passport, I would be putting all rights reserved right over there, right there with the pen.
Okay.
Right on there. Boom.
along with your printed name?
Yep. You sign it whatever you want. Boom. Put all rights reserved. Because remember, that's a contract. Make sure you make it in line with what you did with your application. And I've known some people took and put a stamp on a page and did all kind of stuff to their passport. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
all right, man. Well, sounds good, Akeem. I appreciate everything you do.
You know what?
I'm excited for this.
Stay there for a second. Stay there for a second. I want to go get a passport because there's something on the back of the page of that passport. You know what? No, I'll save that for the seminar. Save it for the seminar. Because not everybody is up on what we're doing. So that's only for the people that's done it. Is there something in that passport that lets you know what you can do with it? That most of us hasn't read, there's a page in there that you need to read. But I'll talk about that later.
I'm gonna have to look into it more there. Yeah. But I am leaning pretty heavy on doing what I gotta do to get down to Baltimore. I'd love to see you. So fingers crossed that'll work.
Yeah, somebody said they want the information. No, what I'll do is I'm gonna do this seminar and be fair to the people that's coming and let them have it first. They took time to come. Then next week when I do a show, I'll talk about that page. But
that's what's up.
All right, brother. All right.
All right. Peace of God to you. I appreciate
all
you.
Right,
I appreciate everything you're doing. And hope to see you Saturday.
Thanks for trusting me. With your situation. All right. Peace.
Peace.
Oh, what I was gonna say. Oh yeah, Chicago. I gotta work on that too. I keep saying that. But all right, it's 8:33. I'm pretty much done for the night. I'm tired. I've been at 1:30 this morning, rushing to the airport. I gotta lay it down. I know it's a short night. I gave y'all a lot to work on. Remember, seminar is Saturday in Baltimore, Maryland. Go to my website, akeem.com, and get the information, as well as those tonics are there on my website. If you want to clean yourself out, get your health up, they're there. Actually, when I was in New York, I met someone who makes, they make ices. It was me, my daughter, and my cousin's daughter. I took them down to the South Street Seaport, New York, and there was someone who was selling all natural ices, and I tried one. It was really good, and it had all the ingredients on it, and I think it's a good business. It's her company, so I'm gonna have her on. She's gonna discuss her product and get it out there. See, I'm not about building our people up when they have good businesses. So, you know, Thursdays is supposed to be dedicated to commerce. So we're going to arrange a time. And I might want to do some business with them and get those ICs and sell them myself, buy them in bulk. But it's really good. I had the lemon lime, and my daughter had the mango, and then my cousin's daughter had the watermelon one. But they all of them loved it. And it was all natural. You know how those ices they have there, and they stick to, they turn your lips colored. It has none of those colorings in it. And she designed it because she wanted her son to have something natural, and it was to help him teeth. But I'll let her tell y'all the story. But anyway, all right, thanks for tuning in. I'll see you guys Thursday. Peace.
You think you know how the world works?
Peace to the gods.
What if I told you the reality you know is one of many?
Parasite Radio.
This doesn't make any sense.
Not everything does. Not everything has to. Through the mystic arts, we harness energy and shape reality.
At 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
We travel great distances in an instant.
How do I get from here to there?
Parasite Radio.
Study and practice. Here's the business. There's a strength to him.
But is he ready?
Peace to the gods.
Be careful which path you travel down, Strange. Stronger men than you have bust their way. I am death. And pain. You'll die protecting this world. I can't do this. There is no other way.
The information station. Changing the nation.
I spent so many years peering through time. Looking for you.
Tune in to Hindsight Radio.
Peace to the gods. You're listening to Hindsight Radio.
When the sun goes down and ain't nobody around, I'ma be there. And when you're trying to find forever and you're looking in the clouds, I'ma be there. And when it seems that all hope's gone and all lost is out here. And when you look up in the stars, hoping I can fly where you are, I'ma be there. And when the sun goes down and ain't nobody around, I'ma be there. And when you're trying to find my way, when you look up in the clouds, I'ma be there. And when it's all said and done and ain't no one else to call.
Yeah.
No. And when you look around, it was you that did it all.
If it all fall down. When the smoke clear, look around. Bet you see me standing on a pile. If it all go to hell, I'ma fire blood up in the air. Say something for my partners if they there. I declare I ain't a shoe in the kitchen heaven. But I can make it if God in a good mood being fair. Allow me to prepare. Cause I know the day coming. Nigga make excuses, they be running from the truth and make their stomach hurt. Furthermore, nigga don't want a revolution. These nigga wanna ride first. Nigga wanna spit a verse. It ain't right by things it ain't do. I ain't never did that shit to you. Been a hunter from the start of it. We did some monumental, legendary shit, man. I'm glad I was a part of it. So even if we part ways, we'll always have a good day. And they gon' always be there. Yeah.
When the sun goes down and ain't nobody around, I'ma be there. And when you're trying to find forever and you're looking in the clouds, I'ma be there. And when it seems that all hope's gone and all lost is out here.
stars, hoping I can fly where you are. I'm gonna be there.
That shit they wear saying it, they don't see me that often. I be here for you. When them niggas get too weird for you, this shit they make no feel real to you. See me every year, they like, damn, he been around for a long time. But it better when he here, we know he definitely real. And that should be the deal breaker. All the callie niggas sound shakers. They be dropping saw on the flare, like they killing the snail. Years ago, they better give me that shit still in the air. Bitch, I'ma be here. I drop shit when I feel like it. Long as I know that I kept it real with all of my niggas and they still with me, I'm cool. Until you get where you supposed to, I'ma keep the champagne cold for the toast. I'ma be here.
When the sun goes down and ain't nobody around, I'ma be there. And when you're trying to find forever and you're looking in the clouds, I'ma be there. And when it seems that all hope's gone and all lost is out there. And when you look up in the stars, hoping I can fly where you are, I'ma be there. When the sun goes down and ain't nobody around, I'ma be there. And when you're trying to find forever and you're looking in the clouds, I'ma be there. And when it seems that all hope's gone and all lost is lost, yeah. And when you look up in the stars, hoping I can fly where you are, I'ma be there.
Devil mean for bad, God uses for good, right? Well, I'm sure the people who put crack cocaine in our communities infested us with all this hate, all these guns, all this violence, all this rage. You see, they never counted on us taking those very experiences, packaging them as philosophical presentations, set to music about their experiences. And how many people would relate to it, and how much commerce would come from it. Yeah, they didn't count on that. That day, dumbass. It's trap music.
Hindsight Radio, the place for right knowledge.